Pastor Tim is speaking at another church this morning, and so Roger's going to share with us as we continue to talk about Jesus.
Yeah. Pastor Tim said to give you a greeting that when he found out that I was going to be speaking, he said, "Do you mind if I take, you know, and go speak in another church?" And I told him, you know, when a cat's away, the mice will play, so I can't be responsible for what might happen during the service, but yeah, you can go ahead and go. He's been delivering a series of messages from, and he started in the Gospel of John, and he's working his way through John, and we are focusing on Jesus, who Jesus is, the attributes of Jesus, how we apply those attributes into our lives. And we want to continue on, and he started it with one particular thing, and that is the wedding at Canaan. Remember that? That was the first miracle that Jesus completed. And so we want to continue on from there. And as we do, I want to invite the ushers, if they would come forward. We have Bibles here. If you forgot your Bible today, why don't you grab one of those Bibles, raise your hand. If you don't have a Bible, we want you to have a Bible. So this is our gift to you, okay? So you could take this home with you. We're encouraging people to bring their Bibles. We want you to learn to use the Word of God and handle the Word of God, not just look at it up on a PowerPoint. So it's important to know where the books of the Bible are. So if you don't have one, raise your hand. They'll get a Bible to you, and we want to follow along in the reading of God's Word. Before we do that, though, do you know when the service was about to start, somebody noticed that I had this microphone clip on, okay? And they said, "Oh, Roger, Pastor Roger, you're going to speak today, huh?" I said, "Yeah." And they said, "Oh, you're going to give us a hymn, aren't you?" Now, those of you who know, I love the hymns. Andrew was singing songs from the 1990s. I like the ones from the 1890s, okay? And so I told him, well, I may work a song into the message today. But I had somebody that emailed me this, and he said, "You know, there's a lot of people that enjoy hymns, not just you, Roger, or a few people in the church. In fact, there are a lot of businesses that have theme songs from hymns of the 1890s, and they gave me some of those. They said, "Do you know that dentists have a favorite hymn that they like to sing? It's called 'Crown Him with Many Crowns.'" Yeah, and the weatherman, you know, on the Weather Channel, the weatherman, he has a favorite song too. "There shall be showers of blessing." The showers that come in, okay? Do you know that optometrists have a favorite hymn that they like? "Open my eyes that I may see." Yeah. The IRS has a favorite song too. You all want to know this one. "I surrender all." The real estate. We got any real estate agents here? They also have a favorite song they like. "I got a mansion just over the hilltop." They like that one, okay? Massage therapists, chiropractors, we got any of those in the house? They also have a song they like. "He touched me, oh, he touched me." Yeah, favorite song. But here's the ones that really, it's for all of us in the way in which we travel and the speed that we travel with, okay? If you are traveling at 45 miles an hour, there's a favorite song that many people like to sing. "God will take care of you." God's there with you at 45 miles an hour. You kick it up to 65, "It's nearer, my God, to thee." Now, if you're really like Pastor Andrew, he likes the 85-mile-an-hour mark, okay? "This world is not my home. I'm just a passenger. I'm not going to be here long at 85. If you're real bold and you make it to 95, it's coming home, Lord, I'm coming home. You're not long for this world, huh? And if you're real bold, you make it up to 100. It's precious memories, how they linger. The hymns, okay? I may work a hymn into this message if we have time at the end. But I wanted to pass those along. We are continuing on in the Gospel of John. And if you will turn in your Bibles, and if you're carrying these that were just passed out, turn to page 737. If you brought your own Bible, I don't know what page you're on, okay? John 2, verses 12 through 21. Let's follow along, shall we? He says, "After this, he went down to Capernaum with his mother and his brothers and his disciples." After this was after that wedding in Canaan, at the very beginning of Jesus' ministry after that wedding, he says, after these things, he went down to Capernaum. There they stayed for a few days. When it was almost time for the Jewish Passover, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple courts, he found men selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and others sitting at tables exchanging money. So he made a whip out of cords, and he drove all from the temple area. Both sheep and cattle, he scattered the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. To those who sold doves, he said, "Get these out of here. How dare you turn my father's house into a market?" His disciples remembered that it was written, remember this phrase, church, "Zeal for your house will consume me." Do you know that Jesus is very zealous for the house of God? Okay, we need to remember that. And then the Jews demanded of him, "What miraculous sign can you show us to prove your authority to do all of this?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and I'll raise it again in 3 days." The Jews replied, "It took us 46 years to build this temple, and you're going to raise it in 3 days?" But the temple he had spoken of was his body. Now, those of you who are avid readers of Scripture, you might notice this was at the beginning of Jesus' ministry when he cleansed the temple. But do you know that there are two instances of the cleansing of the temple? Because at the end of his ministry, he also cleansed the temple. We're getting ready to go into the Easter time, the Easter festivities. And Jesus, as he was making his entry into Jerusalem at the end of his ministry, went into the temple. And I want to read a portion of Scripture. The other three Gospels put the cleansing of the temple, they reflect on it at the end of Jesus' ministry. John does it at the beginning. But I want you to turn, if you will, to Mark chapter 11, and we're going to start at verse 8. Page 703, if you want to get there quick. Okay, and it's at the bottom of the page there on the right-hand side in chapter 11. You know, as I read Scripture, and I've read it through, I couldn't tell you the number of times I have. Every once in a while, you run across the Scripture that I never saw this before, and I've probably read it dozens of times, but it just jumped off. I'd never seen this. This was one of them. Then starting in verse 8, it says, "Many people spread their cloaks on the road." So he's making the triumphal entry into Jerusalem, "while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. And those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, 'Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest.'" Now, I remember that, but here's the verse that jumped off at me. Verse 11, it says, after this triumphal entry, okay, Jesus has fought the crowds coming into Jerusalem. How many of you have ever expended a lot of energy trying to get through crowds, doing something, have a long day, and you're just exhausted at the end of the day, okay? When my wife and I traveled with the Celebrant Singers, we took one trip overseas, and we had to fly from New York to London, England, to Frankfurt, Germany, to Tehran, Iran, because we spent several weeks in Iran, okay? Now, the Iranians, they don't like us, okay? And when we got there, we were exhausted because of all the traveling. And then when we had to go through the customs, they made us open everything, and they went through everything. We're just exhausted, okay? Now, when I get through there, I'm not looking, "Where's the church, guys? Where's the bed? I'm tired, okay? I want to go and take a nap. I want to get some sleep." Jesus, he has an exhausting day going through the crowds at Jerusalem. And then look in verse 11 what it says he does. "Jesus entered Jerusalem and went to the temple. He looked around at everything, but since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. I thought he cleansed the temple. No, it says he has this exhausting day. He spent all this time, and the first thing he does, he goes to the temple. And it's already late. He knows there's nobody going to be there. Why in the world would he do that? This is not in your notes, church, and I want you to write this down. Okay? Because I believe that Jesus is acting out an analogy for us. You know, he would speak in parables to the disciples. I think he's acting out a parable for us. Okay? Here's what I want you to get. If you don't take anything else from the sermon today, take this. You cannot achieve in the physical realm that which God has called you to. You cannot achieve all that God has for you in the physical realm unless you take care of the spiritual first. You hear me, church? Unless you take care of the temple first, you are not going to be able to. Jesus could not accomplish what he needed to do in the physical until the spiritual was handled. Jesus is zealous for the temple of God. And it says he, after an exhausting day, wants to make sure the temple, what's going on at the temple, what's happening, because he is zealous for the temple of God. Even as a boy, he was zealous for the temple of God. In Luke's account, one of the few accounts where we have information about Jesus when he was a boy, he's about 11, 12 years old, and it says his family went to Jerusalem in order to celebrate the Passover. And after a few days there, they get ready to go home, and they take off, and they go a day's journey, and they realize they can't find Jesus. Where is he? Okay? Now, what kind of a mother would do that? Okay? Would miss her child for a whole day? Then, you know, it can happen. I remember a story in my oldest sister. They were on vacation, and they had a motorhome that they had rented or was theirs, or they had this motorhome, and they were going to take a vacation, and they had their three kids at that time that they were taking along. And my parents were also went along on this vacation with them. And they tell me that my oldest nephew was asleep in the bunk up overhead as they were traveling. Okay? And so they were all, you know, had to go relieve themselves, and they were hungry and thirsty, and so they decided they'd make a pit stop. And they pulled into this place, and my nephew was asleep up there, so they just let him sleep. Okay, he's asleep, just leave him up there, let him sleep. They all got off and went, you know, to relieve themselves and get something to eat and drink, and then they're headed back. Well, in the meantime, my nephew wakes up. And nobody in the motorhome, so he gets out because he needs to go to the bathroom. While he goes in there, they all come back. They all get in the motorhome. Nobody thinks to look up there because they just all assume he's asleep up there, okay? So they all get in the motorhome and they take off. About an hour later, the highway patrol pulled them over. And they asked them, "Do you have a son named Stephen?" My nephew's name is Stephen. Said, "Yeah, he's asleep in the bunk overhead." And the highway patrolman said, "Would you check and see if your son is asleep up there?" They look up there, and, "Oh my God, he's gone." He said, "Back there at that pit stop, he got off." And here's something remarkable. My five-year-old nephew memorized the license plate of that motorhome. And he was able to tell them where they were going, the make of the motorhome, and the license plate number. So they were able to then, okay, if they're traveling and where they're going, they're able to plot that out. Okay, so they're going to be about there. So they notified the highway patrol about where they would be, and they pulled them over, and they said, "You know, you need to go back an hour journey back because pick up your son. Okay, he's waiting for you." Now, how in the world can that happen? It does happen, okay? But it says that Jesus, when his mother said, "What were you doing? What were you thinking?" He said, "Wouldn't you know that I would be about my Father's business? Why is this such a surprise to you?" Okay? Even as a young boy, he had a zeal for the temple of God, the house of God. Even today, Jesus has a zeal for the temple of God. Now we need to ask ourselves, what is the temple of God? In Psalms 5:7, it says, "But I, by your great mercy, will come into your house in reverence, while I bow down toward your holy temple." Do you know that there is something about this building? The temple is a building, okay? It can be a building. They erected this building so people could come and worship. There is something unique about this building. Because we gather and worship, the Spirit of God is in this place. Pastor Tim talks about coming early in the morning and just walking around and praying, okay? When I was a young man, high school age, I used to go to First Baptist Church in Hanford, the church that was over on Dowdy Street. You all know where that is, the old First Baptist Church. And they didn't have alarm systems in those days, okay? So as a high school student, I did confess this to my mom, so I'm not I'm not confessing anything I haven't already confessed. But I would get up late at night, and I would go to the church. I'd pick the lock, and I'd go in, and I would just sit and pray in the sanctuary. Because there is something about the presence of God. When you come in here, and I hope that as you come in and worship, that you would sense something of the presence of God in this place, this temple. The temple is a physical structure, but it's not just limited to that. In John, where we were reading, it says, Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and I will raise it again in 3 days." It says, but the temple he had spoken of was his body. Do you know that the body of Jesus is the temple? In 1 Corinthians 12, it says that we are individuals, members of the body of Christ. Do you know that this church is the temple? You people, this gathering, the collective members are the body of Christ. Do you know that God is still zealous for the temple of God? He is zealous for what we do, how we reach out to people. Whether it be in the jail ministry, the scripture talks about that this is pure and undefiled religion. That you visit orphans, that you visit widows, and you go to those who are in jail. That's pure and undefiled religion. It's wonderful that we as a body are the body of Christ. We are the temple going out. But it also says in 1 Corinthians 3:16, you are the temple of God. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple? And that God's Spirit lives in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. For God's temple is sacred, and you are that temple. He is still jealous for the holiness and the purity of the temple. And he says, you are that temple. God is zealous for the purity and the holiness in you as the temple of God. So, there are times where Jesus needs to still come in and cleanse the temple. What are the areas in our lives that Jesus needs to cleanse the temple? How is the temple destroyed, or how is the temple defiled? Turn in your Bibles to 1 John 2:15 and 17. It says, if you're following along in your notes, the first point there is loving the world. You want to defile, contaminate the temple? Love the world. It says, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. So what are those things that, according to this scripture verse, that defile or contaminate the temple? Greed, sexual sin, and pride. Men, we are going to be doing a support group on Tuesday nights called Every Man's Battle. For those of you who are visiting, not only am I one of the pastors here, but I'm also a marriage and family therapist. And I'm telling you, I don't know what's happening, but in the last 2 weeks to a month, there has just been an influx of men that are struggling in the area of pornography. Sexual sin. And we need to address that, men. I want to read another scripture to you. This is in 1 Corinthians 6:18. It says, flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a man commits are outside his body, but he who sins sexually sins against his own body. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. Okay, you are the temple, and I'm going to tell you, there is something that is happening where there is contamination in the temple in this area of sexual sin. We want to address that. About a year or so ago, we did a support group called Every Man's Battle, and Colin Cooper and I facilitated that, and Colin came to me about a month ago as I was thinking about putting this message together, and I said, Colin, this is really God. He said, I've been sensing that God wants to do that group again. for men in the church. But I don't want to do that. It's natural. It's only normal because that's what men do, right? I was going to ask a couple that is battling in this area to come and give testimony during this time. But they're unable to do that because of the continuing hurt that is inflicted because of this bondage. I wanted this man to stand up and share about how he didn't feel like his wife was meeting his needs physically, and so he felt justified in beginning to look at pictures because she wasn't giving it, so I'm going to get it someplace else. And then how it went from pictures to the internet, and then from the internet to phone calls, and then from phone calls to actually meeting with people and an adulterous affair. And then I wanted his wife to get up and talk about how that hurts her. What that does. Men, do you know what that does to your wife when you are looking at that stuff? Do you know what it communicates to her? That she is cheap. Yeah. It communicates to her that she is not enough. It communicates to her that she is worthless. The reason that couple couldn't come is because this woman is still battling with self-esteem issues because of the stuff her husband was looking at. This has to be cleansed. Jesus is still zealous for the temple of God. And he is looking and he is going to clean house. You cannot achieve the things in the physical realm that God has for you. Do you know that Jeremiah says that God knows the plans that he has for you? Plans for a future and a hope. God has specific plans for every one of you, and you will not achieve it if you maintain this compromise. If you maintain this sin in your life. Jesus is still in the business of cleansing the temple. Why? Because he is zealous for the purity of the temple of God. But I don't want to talk about that. It feels good. And they will justify that. And I'm telling you the damage it will do. We are going to have a support group for men. In a group this size, statistically, about 150 of you are struggling with it, men, in this room. Statistically. But I don't want to look at that. I don't want to deal with that. Jesus is in the business. He is zealous. We're going to start this group. If you want men to take part in that, I know it's going to be difficult for you to go up to guest services to that lady that say, I'm struggling in the area of pornography addiction. Sign me up for that class, okay? That's not going to be an easy thing to do. I asked Colin what his email was, and he gave me his card. Guys, if you would like to register for this group, and you don't have to let the lady at guest services know, you can contact him at ccooper@laprinofoods.com. Guess where he works? laprinofoods.com, okay? ccooper@laprinofoods.com. Or you can contact me at the church here, and it's at roger@kcfchurch.org. You can contact me, and then I'll pass that on to him. And we're putting that group, that will begin in April with the Group Connect groups. It is important, men, that you address this. Do not sweep this under the rug because God is going to clean house. He is going to clean house. Or it could be greed. I want those things. I want all the stuff that other people have. Or pride. You know the Bible says that God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Pride will be something that God is going to have to address in your life. So loving the world. Those are the things of the world. Those are the areas that God says, I'm going to clean. I'm still zealous for the temple of God. The second thing is loving yourself to the extreme. Okay? 2 Timothy 3:1-5 says, but mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. Have nothing to do with them. Kind of sounds like the front page in the newspaper with all of the stuff we're going with. Executives and main companies that are swindling people out of it. It's this greed thing. It's the lovers of self. I'm going to take care of me. How many of us have this mentality? I got my salvation. You can go to hell. Not thinking of others. How about not acknowledging God? Not acknowledging God. Do you know in Colossians 3:17 it says, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. In whatever you do, give glory to God. So that man out here who is saying, that's what men do, okay, they look at that stuff and God gave us that testosterone. If he hadn't given that to us, then we wouldn't have this. So that's just what men are doing. Do you know that God says that men, if you even look at a woman with lust in your eyes, you committed adultery. You better guard your eyes. Okay? Because God is saying, I'm going to clean house. In everything that you do, in word or deed, what's outside of everything? We got to acknowledge God. So do people at your work know that you're a Christian? Do you acknowledge God? Well, Roger, but we got the separation of church and state, and I work for the county, and I got to be careful. Well, let me tell you something. If the Spirit of God is in your spirit, you don't even have to say anything, and they'll know that you're a Christian, or they should. But God cannot achieve in the physical in your life if you don't get the spiritual, if you don't get the temple in order. And he is still zealous for the temple of God. Some of the other things, lying lips are an abomination to God. Lying. A root of bitterness. Hebrews 12 says, don't let a root of bitterness rise up within you because many have become defiled by it. Well, I got every right to be upset. They did that to me and I am not going to let that go. I'm going to hold on to that. That bitterness, that root of bitterness, okay? Jesus is going to clean that out. He says, because I cannot achieve what I need to achieve in you with you harboring that. Let it go. Let it go, church. Don't make him take a whip and drive it out. Let it go. Anger. Do you know that James 1:20 says the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God? All this fighting and stuff that's going on at home in a household. I tell people, you can get two people together and you're going to have a disagreement. You're always going to have a disagreement. I don't care how many years you've been married, you're going to have a disagreement, but you never have to have a fight. I got to say that again. You're going to have disagreement in your marriage, but you never have to have a fight. So why is it that so many people come in fighting, angry? Why don't they let it go? How do we cleanse the temple? There's the third point. How do we cleanse the temple? Number one, choose to stop acting contrary to God's will. You got to choose it. Okay? Life is constantly changing. You choose how you're going to respond to whatever the situation. Well, she makes me feel this way. No, she doesn't. You choose it. He made me do that. No, he didn't. He doesn't have the power to make you do that. He can create a lousy environment, but you choose how you're going to respond. In Joshua's getting ready to lead the people of Israel into the promised land. Okay, he's about to enter in. And he says to them, now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods of your forefathers, worshiped beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your forefathers served beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. It is a choice, okay? It is a choice to serve the Lord. I have a video clip that I want to show you from the great theologian Bob Newhart. I found this little video clip, and it looks like somebody was sitting in one of his counseling sessions and had an iPhone. They were video. The quality on this isn't all that good, but the point that he makes is hilarious. So it takes about 5 minutes. Why don't we just watch a little bit of this clip called Stop It?
Dr. Switzer?
Yes, come in. I'm just washing my hands.
I'm Catherine Bigman. Janet Carlisle referred me.
Oh, yes. Still being buried alive in a box.
Yes. Yes, that's me. Should I lay down?
Oh, no. We don't do that anymore. Just have a seat. And Let me tell you a bit about our billing. I charge $5 for the first 5 minutes, and then absolutely nothing after that. How does that sound?
That sounds great. Too good to be true, as a matter of fact.
Well, I can almost guarantee you that our session won't last the full 5 minutes. Now, we don't do any insurance billing, so you would either have to pay in cash or by check.
Wow. Okay.
And I don't make change.
All right.
And go.
Go.
Well, tell me about the problem that you wish to address.
Oh, okay. Well, I have this fear of being buried alive in a box. I start thinking about being buried alive and I begin to panic.
Has anyone ever tried to bury you alive in a box?
No, but truly thinking about it does make my life horrible. I mean, I can't go through tunnels or be in an elevator or in a house, anything boxy.
So what you're saying is you're claustrophobic.
Yes, that's it.
All right, well, let's go, Catherine. I'm going to say two words to you right now. I want you to listen to them very, very carefully. Then I want you to take them out of the office with you and incorporate them into your life.
Shall I write them down?
Well, if it makes you comfortable, it's just two words. We find most people can remember them.
Okay.
You ready?
Yes.
Okay, here they are.
Stop it!
I'm sorry?
Stop it!
Stop it?
Yes, S-T-O-P, new word, I-T.
So, what are you saying?
You know, it's funny. I say two simple words, and I cannot tell you the amount of people who say exactly the same thing you're saying. I mean, this is not Yiddish, Catherine. This is English. Stop it.
So I should just stop it.
There you go. I mean, you don't want to go through life being scared of being buried alive in a box, do you? I mean, that sounds frightening.
It is.
Then stop it.
I can't. I mean, it's been with me since childhood.
No, we don't go there. Just stop it.
So I should just stop being afraid of being buried alive in a box.
You got it. Good girl. Well, it's only been 3 minutes, so that will be $3.
Actually, I only have a five, so.
Well, I don't make change.
Then I guess I'll take the full 5 minutes.
Fine. All right. Well, what other problems would you like to address?
I'm bulimic. I stick my fingers down my throat.
Stop it! None of some kind? Don't do that.
But I'm compelled to. My mom used to call me fatty.
No. No, we don't go there.
But I've been having this dream.
No, we don't go there either.
But my horoscope did say...
We definitely don't go there. Just stop it.
I have self-destructive relationships with men.
Stop it! You want to be with a man, don't you?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm, yes.
Well, then stop it. Don't be such a big baby.
I wash my hands a lot.
That's all right.
It is?
I wash my hands all the time. There's a lot of germs out there. Uh-huh. Yeah, don't worry about that one.
I'm afraid to drive.
Well, stop it! I mean, how are you going to get around? Get in the car and drive, you kook.
Stop it! You stop it! You stop it!
What's the problem, Kathy?
I don't like this. I don't like this therapy at all. You're just telling me to stop it.
and you don't like that?
No, I don't.
So you think we're moving too fast, is that it?
Yes. Yes, I do.
All right, then let me give you 10 words that I think will clear everything up for you. You want to get a pad and a pencil for this one?
All right.
Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
All right, here are the 10 words. Stop it or I'll bury you alive in a box!
I don't think God's going to bury us alive in a box. But you get the point. You know, so many people think, well, I just can't help myself. No, you can. You can make the choice. Life is about choosing how you're going to respond. They don't have the power to do that over. You choose how you're going to respond. And sometimes you just need to stop it. Just stop it. That's one of the ways in which we cleanse the temple. You stop doing what you're doing because you know that is not pleasing to God. Another thing that we do is we need to keep His word. In Psalms chapter 119, starting in verse 9, it says, "How can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word." One of the things that is going to keep us pure is by living according to the word, taking the word of God and appropriating it into your life. Kind of reminds me of a hymn. Do you know, I like to sing the hymns. You know whose fault it is that I like the hymn so much? My mom and dad used to travel around and sing a lot. My mom's deceased, but my dad is here. Come here, Dad. There's a hymn that was written in the 1890s called Standing on the Promises, okay? You want to sing that song with me?
Certainly.
All right, here we go. Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let His praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing. Standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. That's good enough. Thank you. So the next time I sing a hymn, you could blame him. Okay? It's his fault. Second verse says, standing on the promises that cannot fail. When the howling storms of doubt and fear assail, by the living word of God, I shall prevail. Standing on the promises of God. You want to know how to overcome and cleanse the temple? Stand upon the word of God. How can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Praise be to you, O Lord. Teach me your decrees. With my lips, I recount all the laws that came from your mouth. I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. And listen to this. I will not neglect your word. Can you say that with me, church? I will not neglect your word. One more time. I will not neglect your word. You want to know how to cleanse the temple? Stand upon the word of God because it is the same. It is the same. It will not change. Heaven and earth are going to pass away, but he says, my word will never change. My word will never fail. My word will last through eternity. You want to know that thing that won't change? It is the word of God. Stand upon the word of God. Why do you think we are encouraging people to journal? We've been encouraging people to journal daily. I won't ask you to raise your hand how many are doing it, but the reason we do that is because the word of God will shine the light and cause you to stay pure. You avoid the word of God, And he says, you're going to stumble. What are the things you do with the Word of God? In verse 10, it says, seek it. Seek the Word of God. Verse 11 says, treasure it. Treasure the Word of God. Verse 13 says, speak it. Speak it out. Declare it. Verse 14 says, rejoice in it. Verse 15 says, meditate on it. How many of you are meditating on the Word of God? You're taking the Word and you go over it and over it and over it and over it and the same verse over it and meditate and chew it until it is in your spirit. And then it says, delight in the Word of God. The Word of God will keep us. Jesus is zealous for the temple of God. And he is zealous for a pure and holy and undefiled temple. Where are you at today, church? Where is the Holy Spirit speaking into your life? What are those things that you're holding on to? Where are those areas that you already know that God is speaking and shining the light and saying, I need you to release this because I cannot use you fully, effectively. Yeah, there's a lot of people that are doing things, but we got to do more than just do things. We have to be who God created us to be. We have to be who we are in Christ. And you can't do that harboring this contamination. God is still zealous for the temple of God. Where are you at today, church? What are the things that God is shining his light in your life? Are you loving the things of the world? The greed? The sexual sin? Man, you holding on to that? The pride? You're loving yourself. You're looking at only your personal interests. I'm not doing anything for anyone else. They didn't do it for me. Why should I go out of my way? Well, wait till they do something for me. Then I'll return the favor. That is not the way of God. Not acknowledging God. Not telling others about the hope that lies within you. I don't do that. That's embarrassing. Not acknowledging God will contaminate your temple. You are the temple. Let's bow our heads. So, Father God, we now take a moment and ask that you would reflect upon our inner being and expose by your Holy Spirit's loving light those areas in our life that we need to surrender to you, those things that are keeping us, holding us back, contaminating us. And we even now know that those are wrong, those are not of you. Father, your word says in everything we do, we want to give glory to you. Father, I pray that the church would glorify you in their thoughts, in their emotions, in their actions, Lord God. In everything, we would glorify you and lift you up. Your word says, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men to myself. I want to ask the prayer team, the elders, those that are leading prayer, if you'll come to the front here. I think that God is doing some cleansing. And these people, there's a scripture that says, if you'll confess your sins one to another, that you will be healed. There's something about taking a step of faith and sharing that thing in your life that's holding you back, that's contaminating your temple. Today, Jesus wants to clean house. He's still zealous, church. He wants to clean the temple. You are the temple. I want you to come in a moment and pray with these. Or if you're at a place where you just need to repent, and I don't need to repent to one of these people. I need to repent to God. I still would like you to come up. If you could come up and stay on the far sides and just you and God. It's still important to take a step of faith, not just run out the back door and get out of here because it's hot in here, okay? But taking that step where you come and you repent before God. God, use me, and I surrender this at the altar. I lay this at the altar and pray, Lord God, that you'll remove this from my life. Oh, Father God, we want to give glory and honor to you in what we do and what we say. And I pray that for these here today. I pray that they will come and surrender to you those realms that they are holding on to and let you bring a cleansing that only you can bring by the blood of Jesus. Thank you for our time together. We bless you and we pray these things in Jesus' name.
Everyone said amen. If you would like to have prayer, I want to invite you to come up to some of the prayer team. We got some women over here. Ladies, if you need prayer for something maybe even that's gone on in your, come to these ladies and just pray. Couples, if you need couples over here, there's some men. If you'll come forward and just ask them to pray, or just you and God off to the sides. God bless. See you next week.